Several weeks ago at the mailbox, I was very excited to get something, and it was apparent that it was a check. It had that check paper, and you could see through the window, pay to the order of, and it was from AT&T. And I thought, oh, that's right, there's a class action settlement that's out there that they said, you know, at this point you would get a check. So I excitedly opened up the check until I saw that the check was for 16 cents. I haven't cashed it yet. I'm saving it for Christmas. But, you know, I think, okay, they're doing what they're being forced to do. They're writing these individual checks to people. I'm sure it cost them 30 cents to send it to me. And then they're saying, okay, the court forced us to do this. Check that off the list. We've sent this settlement out to people, and I got my 16 cents in that settlement. Now, that settlement, I suspect, for most people, was something like that. It's not going to make a significant difference to anyone. The company is doing what it's being forced to do. They're not actually redressing a wrong. They're just meeting the minimum requirements and moving forward. Now, while less obvious and dramatic, sometimes I think I'm afraid to say that we do the same things with our religious lives. I'm not talking about literal checks here. I'm talking about our commitment to make the wrongs of the world right. Now, real change comes to the world when we pray and mean it, the words of our collect for today. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. If we're not going to do something with religion to make it worth doing, why do it at all? Let's not talk about a 16-cent check, but a real commitment. Now, Jesus went after some of the people in his time who he considered basically lukewarm attitudes. They were going out to the wilderness. They were going out for baptism. And he asked them in the gospel today, what did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? In other words, are you doing this just because everybody else is doing it? Or do you want to see transformation of yourself and of your world? Advent in particular is a season of considering how very different the world could be when Messiah comes, not only into our world, but into our hearts. The whole gospel message is that with the coming of Messiah, everything turns upside down. It is good news for the oppressed, liberty for the captives. As we prayed in the Magnificat today, which we prayed instead of a psalm reading, the Magnificat underlines the upside down nature of this season of waiting for the Lord. It says, He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. But if such light really breaks into our society, it threatens the status quo. We have to do more than say we want the poor to be filled with good things. We have to do more than say we want the captives freed. We have to give something up for others to have enough. Now, the power structure of Jesus' time said they wanted Messiah to come, but they feared this upside-down nature of the world that he might bring. I suspect they might have been kind of the first Occupy movement. They wanted change, and they insisted on change, and then they just sat there and waited for it to happen rather than doing anything. When we occupy, do we simply want to point to the big bad system without admitting our own part in creating it? Do we want to point to all the things that are wrong with our society without conceding something so that others can have what they need? Jesus said to the disciples, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." He was inviting the prophet, this faithful man, to reconsider even his expectation of the kingdom. This change in expectations was so dramatic that Jesus says the least born in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, this is not an indictment of John the Baptist, but a declaration of how vastly humankind had underestimated the change coming with the Messiah. And you can bet that the social and religious structure felt threatened by John the Baptist, not simply because he was weird and ate locusts and wore hair shirts, but because he talked about a Messiah who might turn the world upside down. After all, if you're in the comfortable minority, how much do you really want the world to be turned upside down? Why turn the world upside down if you're already on top? In their time and in ours, is the coming of the Messiah considered good news if it makes the comfortable suddenly uncomfortable? Ask any one of them. Ask any one of us. And we will say that, yes, we want Messiah to come. We want the poor to be filled, for the oppressed to be lifted up, for the captives to be released. But if we're honest, isn't it often that our true hope is that God will fix them without changing us? And before we criticize the religious establishment of that time, let's admit our own fears and our own needs. We want the Messiah to come. We want the poor to be lifted up. But are we willing personally to have less status, money, time, so that someone else can have a little more? Are we like the Pharisees, wanting Messiah to fix them without messing with us? Most people do live in a place where the oppressed hear good news. Most people want to live in a place where the oppressed hear the good news, where the brokenhearted are healed, where the captives find liberty. Most are also scared, though, and I include myself in this. We are scared of what that kind of kingdom would do to our own lives. Our lives are very comfortable, thank you very much. And so we pray in this season of Advent, we pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. But do we mean it? Do we want the world and ourselves to be uncomfortable, dramatically changed by the presence of God? Or are we content with writing the 16-cent check and saying, that's done, we've done what we're supposed to do? Amen.